Please go ahead.
Great, thank you so much. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the Outreach Task Force Charter Drafting Team call today on Friday, the 26th of August, 2011. On the call, we have Debbie Hughes, Roy Dykes, and Carlos Aguirre, and we may be joined later by Olga Cavalli. And from staff, we have Julie Hedlund. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I have loaded the latest version of the charter into the Adobe Connect room, and I know that Roy had helpfully sent a message around with some things that he would like to comment on. So, Debbie, since you're chairing the call, how would you like us to proceed?
Yes. So, Carlos, were there sections that you wanted us to focus on as well? Because perhaps what we could do is talk through the issues that Roy has identified, and then if you have identified any issues as well.
I don't understand.
Okay, so what I was wondering is, do you think it makes the most sense to start with Roy's issues first, because he identified three areas that he wanted to discuss, and then maybe go back up to the top of the document and see if there's any other changes, or did you have any specific areas that you wanted us to focus on similar to what Roy had suggested?
Yeah, good for me. Start with Roy's questions. Yeah, or
perfect.
Issues, yes.
Perfect. Okay, so Roy, do you mind going ahead and giving us a highlight of what you were thinking?
Sure. This is Roy talking for the purpose of the recording. And maybe this was covered on last week's call after I dropped off, because I had to drop off early. But I noticed in this draft that the approval date had been moved from 8 September to TBD.
And actually, this is Julie, and we didn't discuss that on the call per se, but the reason I changed that is because there is a possibility that the DNSO council meeting that was scheduled for the 8th of September may be moved to the 22nd of September, but it's not clear yet whether that's going to happen. It also occurred to me that was probably a little bit optimistic because the council will want its various councilors to take the charter to their constituencies and stakeholder groups to discuss, or at least to allow time for that. And usually that means that the constituency and stakeholder groups need to have time to have a meeting to go over anything that's introduced, you know, or be put before them in a council meeting. So probably what would happen is we'd need two council meetings in order to get the charter approved. It could indeed be submitted in time for this next council meeting, particularly if the council meeting is moved. The date they're looking at is the 22nd of September. But they probably wouldn't put a motion forward to approve the charter until the following council meeting, just because you know, there would need to be time, as I said, for the constituencies and stakeholder groups to look at it. So I wasn't quite sure what to put into that approval date at this point, which is why I changed it to TBD. And thanks so much for pointing that out. I would have raised it in any case on the call, but I'd be very interested in what others think about this as well.
Okay, thanks for the explanation. I guess that makes me ask a couple of follow-ups. The first being, was there ever I don't know how to ask the right words to use here. Was there ever a date that all of this effort needed to be completed by? And also, if there does need to be time, I think it makes sense for there to be time for the constituency groups to review the charter and approve it. Does that move the time frames beginning on page 3 out?
This is Julie. That would move everything, and that's a very good point. But as far as your first question, was a date set for this work to be completed, either the drafting of the charter or the work of the OTF, there is no date set. The recommendations, the original the impetus for this effort came from the board governing governance committee report that was published in February of 2008, I believe, and that set forth a very large number of various improvement recommendations for the GNSO Council, the GNSO improvements, as they're called. This is actually one of the last of the GNSO improvement efforts. This stems from the operations steering committee's work team that was handling the constituency and stakeholder group issues, and that was a group that Olga chaired. This was the last task of that group, and this is actually the last, it really was one of the last tasks of the operations steering committee. So, yes, there is an urgency to complete this work, we do, of course, have to go through the normal procedures of the approval process within the GNSO. If you look down at the timeline, I'd put in, and all of these were just dates that I, picked because I had to pick dates, so they're all up for discussion. But we've got establishing the chair, vice chair, and steering committee by the end of September. I think that could still happen if the council is able to vote and approve the charter at a meeting in September, at a council meeting in September. If that doesn't happen, then all of these dates are likely to slip a little bit. And in any case, with respect to the charter approval date, that probably needs to be the last thing that gets filled in the charter. Probably, now that I think about it, has to be sort of TBD, because we don't really know what that, actual date will be. So that could be filled in, as the last item, basically once the charter is approved.
Okay.
Thanks, Julie. And
yes, thanks for the background.
Yeah, and the traffic that I've been seeing on the GNSO Council, it's not clear to me whether or not we're having the meeting on the 8th or if it's...
Yeah, I don't know either. Julie, it's really up in the air, so I don't know.
Right, so the issue of the deadlines, I think, is a real one.
Right, but, that being said, of course, this group can complete, whatever changes we want to make to this charter when we feel, here in the drafting team that the charter is ready to go, we can send it whenever we think it's ready to the council. The council will just take it up, when they can. The other issue that I forgot to mention was that I do know that the agenda for the next council meeting, whether it's on the 8th or the 22nd, is extremely full. I know,
yes.
Stefan von Gelder has been very worried about not having, not adding new things to it. That being said, there's no reason that the council can't receive this charter, and conceivably, we could add like 5 minutes in the next agenda for, just to say the council, recommends that the various constituencies and stakeholder groups take this out to their organizations and review it or something like that. So I think that step could still happen.
Okay.
So is that helpful, Roy?
Yes, thank you very much.
This is Debbie. So, Roy, you had another item?
Yeah, the next one is it's just really small, but I noticed... In this draft, in section 2, objective 5, to the top of page 3, under the goals section, number three, that should be translation, right, when all the changes go through?
Yeah, I guess it should be reflected as a lowercase. Sorry, yeah, I can't make the change here on this page. But you're right, it should be a lowercase t. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, spell check would probably catch it, but it just the thing that I zeroed in on.
Because it had started the sentence, and so it had a capital T, but I guess, and I didn't put the small t in, so that's a good catch.
Okay.
And then the final question, Roy, was the participants or the number of participants in the OTA.
Yeah, now this one I'm pretty sure I missed because I had to drop off early. I found somewhere where it said limited to 50 participants.
Right. Roy, this is Julie. So this is a conversation we had after you dropped off, and it was really sort of towards the end of our discussion, and so I really tried to set it up for something that we should discuss on this call. We weren't really sure what to say as far as, you know, how to, you know, what to say with respect to limiting the number of, you know, OTF members. And so just to get the conversation started, I put in 50. I haven't, you know, the sense that we had in the last call, and Debbie and Carlos, correct me if I'm wrong, was that, you know, we wanted to perhaps say something about a limit, but we weren't really quite sure what to say. So right now, if you look at page 4, and I've brought this up in the Adobe Connect, it says the size of the OTF should be limited to 50 members to ensure that it can function efficiently. And really, that is just a number that I pulled out of a hat. So it's out there for us to discuss.
Okay. I don't know if we do that now or if other people have comments on the document overall or...
Hi, this is Debbie. So, Roy, were there other specific, any other specific questions that you had, or did that kind of handle?
No, those are the three that I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
So, overall, I think it's a really great draft.
Okay. And Carlos, were there any other particular issues that you wanted to talk about before we start talking about the number of participants?
No, Debbie.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure.
It's a very good chart. Thank you.
Okay, sure. So let's. Do we want to just go ahead and dive in on this conversation? I think a lot of it is just, you know, how do we wrap our hands around this? I mean, I think the idea was broad participation, right? But you don't want a group that's so big that it becomes unwieldy.
Yeah, that was my thinking.
Yeah, and I hate numbers, right? I mean, once you throw the number out there, then people always question and wonder. How did you get that number?
Exactly.
You preferably don't want the answer I gave, which was I just picked it. So
right.
I think we need something a little bit more reasoned.
I mean, hi, this is Debbie again. So, I mean, if you think of the idea, the concept being, you know, broad representation from different regional representatives, you know, you don't even want to say, like, a certain number per region. I mean, it just gets... It's a mess. So, I mean, if we could figure out a way to rationalize a number, if we as a group were comfortable with the number of 50, then maybe we can think of a way of rationalizing that. If we think it should be lower, then, you know, I think whatever number we come up with, if we're going to have a number, that we should be able to explain why we came there.
This is Julie. I agree with that. I think... And maybe what we can do here, since we have time, is backtrack. I'm just going to bring up the chart of the, you know, the GNSO Council and the constituencies and stakeholder groups, because I wanted to go ahead and do a count of what we would have on the steering committee, and
yes.
Then maybe we could talk through some ideas. You know, we've talked a little bit in the document about representation from the different continents, regions. Maybe we could sort of add up, and then we'd want some some from academia and you know, universities, that sort of thing. So maybe we can kind of add up, some of these things and see what kind of number to.
I think that's a good idea. Also, do we have any historical examples from other ICANN task force? And I know that their purposes would have been different, but it's still, I guess, a data point to look at to see effectiveness and maybe how large those groups were.
This is Julie. I'm not sure that we have anything quite like this. nothing really quite this broad, I don't think. Debbie, Carlos, please chime in, but I'm trying to think of the different groups that I know. The difference with this one as opposed to other GNSO groups is that they've typically been restricted to, you know, people already within the GNSO community and haven't been so broad as to include, you know, representatives of other organizations or, you know, or academia or what have you. But I could be wrong about that.
Hi, this is Debbie, and I'm sitting here racking my brain trying to think of another group whose, I guess, mandate or charge is so it's policy driven, yes, but you know, there's no immediate deadline, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know, I'm just trying to think through, like, really. I mean, I know we've set, you know, parameters, and we don't want the work to just wear on, and we don't want the group to exist, you know, without end, without goals in sight. But I'm sitting here wondering, you know, to get the various tasks done that we are laying out here, how many people will you need? I mean, certainly you are going to need, I think, a critical mass to be able to execute or at least facilitate coordinating, you know, the different programming that's going on. But I can't think of another group that's doing work like this. Not outreach work, but just work that I don't want to say that isn't urgent, but are you following what I'm saying, Carlos and Roy? It's like there's no pending you know, a lot of the work groups have a mandate that are linked higher, you know, to something else that's going on. So the urgency is there, and then you've got people who are engaged. I'm just wondering how difficult it might be to get the work done if you have a smaller group.
Sure. I guess it's a balance between inefficiency for size because of size, of too much size, and then being able to get the work done with being too small.
Yeah. Julie, were you able to figure out, like, how many people we already have on the steering committee?
Right. So this is Julie. And so just looking at the steering committee, so we'd have, you know, if we have one representative from each of the stakeholder group constituencies, so there'd be one from the registry stakeholder group, one from the registrar stakeholder group. From the commercial stakeholder group, we'd have one from commercial and business users, intellectual property interests, and internet service and connection providers. And then non-commercial, we'd have one from non-commercial users and one for not-for-profit. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then we talked about having a staff liaison and then maybe like the global partnerships and then the technical liaison group. So let's see, I'm looking at 10, I think,
mm-hmm.
I heard myself say.
That's
you
right.
Add those up, it's 7, and then a staff liaison, maybe global partnerships and technical liaison group. So we could say 10. And then I think we say, and just looking back at the charter, when we talked about per region, it uses best efforts to encourage and recruit potential OTF members from each ICANN region. The goal, you know, to have members from each region. So we're not being specific there.
I mean, even if you say, I'm sorry, this is Julie again.
Go ahead.
Julie, even if you said one for each region, that's 5, right? So already we're at 12.
Well, if we had 10 in the steering committee and then one for each region, So
oh, you
five.
Said 10. Oh, so I'm sorry, 10 on the, okay. I'm
yeah, 10. 10 on the steering okay. committee.
So we're at 15.
So that would bring us up to 15. And then let's say if we had, it's kind of hard to build this, I guess, without saying exactly which organizations we want to target, you know, as far as academia or other organizations, you know, who are we reaching out to recruit? Well, we're basically sending out kind of a blast recruiting message to basically everybody that we want to reach. So, I mean, we could get a whole, you know, I mean, a variety of responses or none at all. I mean, it's...
Right.
Sorry, Julie, Carlos here.
Yes, please go ahead, Carlos.
In relation with your words previous, I think to recruit people of every constituency in different regions is needed before to constitute the OTF, make some previous outreach of the OTF. I don't know if you understand. It's needed a previous outreach before to constitute the OTF. In order to the people in different regions for different constituencies know what talking about. We understand.
So, Carlos, this is Julie. Are you saying that we should look to the various constituencies and stakeholder groups and the outreach they've already done to help us determine where to reach out?
Yeah, I think some constituencies are very involved in the GNSO activities, but others, and in some regions, for example, academia or civil society, is not completely involved in these issues. So we need to make or do some outreach previous to get people to recruit some people, I think.
So this is Julie. So really, we need to do outreach in order to recruit.
Yeah.
This is Julie. That seems a good point. Debbie, and Roy, do you have thoughts on that?
This is Debbie. I mean, I think, you know, once the charter is approved and if they agree that the steering committee should, you know, consist of, you know, the representatives, the 10 or so representatives that we selected, perhaps maybe one of the things that we talk about, and I thought we maybe even mentioned that the steering committee should, you know, do things to encourage, you know, broad, you know, representation. Maybe one of the things we say is that the steering committee should be thinking about, you know, specific things or looking for, I don't know, to recruit members. I think we have it in the charter, Julie, somewhere. I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is Julie. I think we do say that the steering committee does the recruiting. Well, we don't actually say that they do it, but we sort of do because but I think we need to be more specific. I think you're right. Under the deliverables and timeframes, we say, this is in the middle of page 3, establish a steering committee with representatives from stakeholder groups and constituencies. Recruit members of the OTF from abroad and diverse group of members, including experienced participants from ICANN, AGNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, and others interested in ICANN activities. But it doesn't actually... say, you know, it doesn't make the point that It's implied, but it's not clear. I don't think that the steering committee is doing the recruiting. And since the steering committee is made up of the stakeholder groups and constituencies, then maybe what we need to do is be more specific that the stakeholder group and constituencies need to go back, you know, to their groups to develop the targets for the outreach for recruitment.
This is Debbie. I mean, I think I agree. I think we could probably tweak both one and two by adding in one, the point that you just mentioned, Julie, about that the constituencies would, you know, bring recommendations or encourage people to join. And then I think, two, we might want to consider tweaking to say that the steering committee will coordinate the recruitment of members or something like that.
Right, and I'm seeing that Carlos has typed in the and so we have this on the record here in the in the transcript as well, in the chat room. he says before they get their engagement, it's needed that the participants can participate. So they need to know about the OTF. He says, I think all of this is a process where we have many steps to do in order to have success in our work. So that the recruitment is, you know, we've got steps in the process, and I think it's a good point that, in a way, part of the recruitment process is to let people know about, you know, people don't know about the OTF. I mean, it's a little bit of a sort of a sales pitch, really, to say, well, this is what we're doing, and this is why we're looking for people to be involved. So, and I know we talk about the announcement and, you know, sort of the recruitment, but we might want to add a little something, a little bit more prescriptive. Again, Carlos in the chat room says, the steps, in my opinion, are outreach, knowledge, participation, and finally, engagement. Yeah, in the formation, page 5, says the GNSO secretariat shall circulate a call for volunteers for the OTF as widely as possible in order to ensure broad participation, broad representation and participation in the OTF. And it gives some details as far as how this would be distributed. And it does talk about what the call for participation should include, and there's some details there. And Carlos has also noted in the chat room it should be inclusive in order to constitute the outreach task force. So a focus on inclusiveness.
So this is Debbie. It sounds like maybe we want to tweak a couple of these sections so that we can be a little bit more specific about the nature of the effort of recruiting members to the task force before we even start talking about outreach, right? And maybe trying to figure out ways to give them, you know, these concepts, like the concepts that Carlos is mentioning, as guide points or guideposts for reaching out to members in their constituencies and stakeholder groups.
Roy, what do you think?
I agree. I've been following.
What I had said in the time frame for recruitment, and we could look at this too, we've got, you know, that if we assumed that the steering committee was constituted by the end of September, we've got 2 months for recruitment. We could talk about whether or not we feel that that's enough time. I've noted that Carlos has got another note in the chat room. He says, because I feel that there are some people around the world, like academia and civil society, that haven't had enough knowledge to know what we are talking about when we talk about the OTF. So again, it's when we talk about recruitment. I mean, I think that if we can be more specific about, you know, perhaps we need to put more time into recruitment, because in a way that's the, you know, the people that you get in the OTF, you know, to a certain extent you have to sort of inform them about what this effort's going to be in order to get, you know, to get the right people in the group. And so Carlos says, for that reason, I think it is needed some previous outreach as far as what is the OTF in order to recruit more members.
This is Debbie. I think those are great points because, you know, without having the right team, a lot of this work, you know, won't be as productive. So maybe something else that we ask the steering committee to do is to come up with, you know, some speaking points or whatever. I'm going back to that section we were talking about editing about the deliverable time frame. That, you know, we said perhaps consider adding that the steering committee shall, let me see, go down a little bit, Julie.
Let's see. There it is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we've got the role in two different places. So
We do.
And it's also in deliverables, which is actually a little bit further up here. Let me go to where that is. It's
maybe that's where I saw it the first.
It's there, yeah,
yeah, that's where we were looking the first time.
It's right here, yeah, on page 3.
So, you know, maybe when we talk about the recruitment of members, that before they are able to recruit members, maybe they should create, you know, a one-page info or speaking points document or something that could be given to constituencies and then, you know, distributed broadly to the community about what it is the OTF is. But I think what Carlos is saying is important, especially for the parts of the community that may not be really engaged in the work of the OSC. So I'm wondering, do we add that level of detail in the deliverables, or do we talk about, where was that previous section you just were? Julie, do we just need to...
Well, we could put it in two places. I think we could change 1 and 2 in the deliverables. And this is Julie speaking.
Yeah. Okay.
Be more specific, since this is a deliverable. I mean, and it's one of the key first deliverables.
Right.
And then in the formation, we could include that sort of that same language.
Look at that. We've got distribution of announcement to GNSO stakeholder groups, constituencies. Maybe what we need to do is, as part of their deliverable, is that the steering committee will create an announcement.
Right, right. I think we need to be more specific that the steering committee will do the announcement, will create the announcement as a, you know, as a, well, it's sort of a promotional piece.
Yeah.
So I can put some language around that. And I think it needs to be both in the deliverables and also in and then he, yeah and Carlos also makes a good point and
yep.
That the charter needs to be translated in other languages and this oh and that that's a good point too is that this this promotional piece should be translated as well.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I think we're going to probably need a little bit more time in this recruitment process just because, well, I've got down 2 months, but we might need more like 3.
Yeah.
Because we'll need to add in a little bit of time to allow time for translation as well, which takes a little bit of time.
Hi, Julie. This is Debbie. I'm also thinking that, you know, to the extent we're able to get the charter approved before Dakar and there's, you know, an opportunity for, you know, some sort of session or talking about this at that meeting, then you might want to allow some time after, you know, some more additional time after that ICANN meeting for the word to get out, right? So you could use...
Right, that's a really good point. Let me look
right.
back at that timetable,
so,
Julie.
So maybe we need to factor that in when we're talking about recruitment, using really that meeting as a really big push for it, and then allowing a couple months after that, and then kind of wrapping up the recruitment portion.
This is Roy. The other thing to consider is if you're talking October and sort of a couple of months or more after that, it starts to get into December in the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't wonder if it's okay to stretch the recruitment period to the end of January, especially in the January people come back kind of new year fresh and ready to engage in different activities.
You're right.
I'm thinking, this is Julie, I think we need more time. And I should note that Carlos chimed in that he had agreed with what we've been saying, and also he said, good point, Debbie. So,
okay, great.
For the record. But that's a good point, too, Roy. I'm going to rejigger the timetable a little bit. I do think that given the focus of this effort in trying to get particularly, developing countries and other, non-English speakers involved, that Senegal seems to be, sort of a glaringly perfect opportunity to try to, push for recruitment. And this is good timing, too, because I need to one of the things then we should do and get on the schedule is a public session, some time, like an hour or so, in the schedule in Dakar to do a presentation, on this outreach effort and recruitment and use that as an opportunity to get the message out to the participants there and to do some recruiting. Carlos says, yes, Julie, our target is that, the developing countries and non-English speakers.
I love that idea.
So actually, maybe what I'll do is I'll build in a specific deliverable that speaks to having a recruiting session in Dakar. And then that session should also have, it should be a session that has, what do I want to say? It should be, have live translation, and that's not what I mean to say, but, we'll have, people will be able to wear the devices and be able to the session in all of their different languages. And Carlos says there are huge ideas that we can never hear because people have no possibility to make their voices heard in these places. So, okay, let me then, I'm hearing several changes here. So we're going to put in some more specifics about recruiting. We'll expand, and maybe adjust in particular the time frame and the deliverables to focus on a specific deliverable in Dakar that would be part of the recruitment process, so in a session in Dakar, and follow and then continue the recruiting through the end of the year and into early, into January because of the holiday. Is that what you were suggesting, Roy?
Yes. Yes, if we feel like the timeline will accept it, and I think it's important enough to strongly consider that.
I agree.
It's been my experience. I don't know what the ICANN world is like, because this is my first sort of upcoming December with any kind of involvement with ICANN, but a lot of the business world, at least in the States, kind of slows down in December.
This is Julie. I can tell you that particularly from the European, the non-U.S. side, things slow down immensely over the holidays. It's best to try to avoid making any kinds of decisions, in that time frame.
Okay.
I should mention that Carlos has another item in the chat room. That's the idea of previous outreach or, like Debbie said, some presentation of the OTF and the Dakar meeting.
Yeah, so, Julie, this is Debbie. What's the process for getting – is that something that this group needs to request, or is that something you can help?
I'll just take care of it. The way it works for getting these kinds of meetings in Dakar is we'll actually be ICANN staff will be getting an online form that we'll be completing for any meetings that we want to have, whether they're public or private, any meetings that require any meeting space or any, you know, teleconferencing facilities or anything in the car. We'll be getting a form that we need to fill out for each of these things and a suggestion for, you know, when we might want to have it be scheduled. There were two things related to this group that I was going to request. And one, which I'll coordinate with Glenn, is time for this group to meet over the weekend, probably on Sunday. I mean, not this drafting team, but the steering committee, I should say, of the OTF. Because usually GNSO constituted groups tend to have their meetings, if they're work teams or whatever, they tend to have their meetings on the weekend in what's called the GNSO council working session times. And Glenn usually helps to set aside a room and some time for that. So I put in a request for that. But then I'll also put in a request for, I would say, an hour-long session that would be a public session, you know, in Dakar that, you know, and basically what I would have to provide at this point is just sort of the skeleton of information, meaning that, you know, what's the topic, you know, what's the purpose, what kinds of things do we need? Of course, we'd need, you know, we probably want to have it web streamed. We'd want to have, you know, live, you know, have it be translated into at least a couple different languages, particularly French, of course, for Senegal. You know, we put in that request, and we, you know, sometimes we don't always get the place that we want on the calendar because the meeting space is very limited, I know, in particular for this conference. But, you know, we get, you know, placed somewhere during the week. Usually we try to avoid scheduling against any of the big public things, so you don't schedule against the president's address in the first thing on Monday morning, and you don't, schedule against things like the GNSO council meeting on Wednesday afternoon or the public forum, which usually occurs on Thursday afternoon. But, you know, there's still some other times we can pick from. So I'll take care of that sort of a long-winded answer to, yes, I'll take the action item to do that.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
It's okay. I have about probably 10 or 15 meetings I'm planning for Dakar.
Okay.
Just add it to my list.
Thanks.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, so I'm going to actually have to run. They're calling a status meeting real quick for the weather that's happening on the East Coast. So.
Oh, yes, gosh. Oh, my goodness, you have a lot of work to do for that. Oh.
Yeah, so I've got to run, but I just didn't want to. Are there any other things that we really need to discuss here as a group, or do we?
I see Carlos also says he needs to leave.
Okay. So.
This is Roy. I don't have anything else myself.
Okay. So do you think we should try to communicate?
How about this is Julie. Why don't I take the action item to make these changes? Do we want to schedule a call for next Friday as sort of a final wrap-up?
Sure.
Why don't I do
yes.
that? Let me request it and put it on the schedule if we decide for some reason we don't think we need it. But it might be good to just have a final discussion.
Yeah, I agree.
So let me go ahead and do that. Let me make these changes, send them around to all of you. I'll schedule the call, and if we can, you know, if we can wrap up next Friday, then, you know, we can get it off to the council and see where it goes then.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.